Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters, and seekers of the truth. This is the 486th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. The title of today's message is Election 2020 Update Number 9. Folks, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in this year, and I think we can tie it all in, to a rest of the gospel. Oh, I couldn't shut that thing off. It was driving me crazy. Anyways, later in this message, we're going to build this all upon two verses out of Scripture, one out of Deuteronomy chapter 9. Chapter 12, verse 9, which says, "For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God hath given you." And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Now, I don't know where you're at in your life, folks. I don't know if you're a friend, a brother and sister in Jesus Christ, or just a seeker of the truth. But whoever you are, I do know one thing, and one thing that we all have in common. We want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. I can't even say in crazy, crazy 2020 anymore, because now we're into 2021, to the 486th edition of SDG. Folks have been doing this for coming up on 10 years now. Started with Bible messages, and then this year, or actually last year, as I saw the chaos, I transitioned it into a news update with a Bible message at the end. And I'm telling you, folks, the bottom line is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. And remember and never forget, we already have victory in Jesus Christ. So I'm asking y'all to refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned as we cover some of the latest news that I'm telling you, you're never, ever going to hear from the mainstream media as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events. They're unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But I'm telling you, folks, remember, it all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we always do, I want to start with Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we've been doing for the better part of 9 months, we start with the coronavirus hype.
Coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know that all their lies and mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, what call it? Pandemic, the coronavirus, it's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and mind control.
Now, if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, folks, you know that this is a scamdemic.
you know that one of the main people behind it is the infamous Dr. Fauci. And did you hear what happened this week? He was on CNN with Dana Bash. And what have we learned about Dr. Fauci to these vaccines? He was involved in the transfer of technology to the Wuhan lab in Wuhan, China, back in 2015 with CDC money to the tune of $3 or $4 million. This invisible enemy, the coronavirus, is actually from the bioweapons lab in the United States, Fort Detrick, with Dr. Fauci's fingerprints all over it. We know that he was involved with Dr. Gallo, Drs. Birx, and Dr. Redfield back in the HIV age of the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And there was a big controversy over some of the work they were doing with the HIV virus and trying to link it to acquired immune deficiency. And the inventor of the PCR test came out and spoke against their flawed methodology, Kerry Mullis. But anyways, this week, Dr. Fauci on Dana Bash's show on CNN defended his lying. She asked him directly about raising the bar on his projections concerning herd immunity. And we've all heard these terms now, you know. And she asked why he hasn't been straight with the American public to begin with. And he backpedaled, and it was just full of lies. And here's a 3-minute and 23-second clip of Dr. Fauci on Dana Bash's show on CNN. And listen, BS.
Infection.
Let's talk about some of the solutions in terms of coronavirus. You acknowledged to the New York Times that you've moved the goalposts in terms of what it would take to reach so-called herd immunity in the United States. Here's what you said. You said, when polls said only about half of all Americans would take a vaccine, I was saying herd immunity would take 70 to 75%. Then when newer surveys said 60% or more would take it, I thought I can nudge this up a bit. So I went to 80, 85. And then you go on to say that it may be as high as 90%. So my question is, why weren't you straight with the American people about this to begin with?
No, actually, Dana, I don't think it can be interpreted as being straight or not. We have to realize that we have to be humble and realize what we don't know. These are pure estimates, and the calculations that I made, 70-75%, it's a range. The range is going to be somewhere between 70-85%. The reason I first started saying 70-75%, I brought it up to 85. That's not a big leap to go from 75 to 85. It was really based on calculations and pure extrapolations from measles. Measles is about 98% effective vaccine. The COVID-19 vaccine is about 94-95%. When you get below 90% of the population vaccinated with measles, you start seeing a breakthrough against the herd immunity. Mm-hmm. People starting to get infected, like we saw in the upper New York State and in New York City with the Orthodox Jewish group when we had measles outbreak. So I made a calculation that COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, is not as nearly as transmissible as measles. Mm-hmm. Measles is the most transmissible infection you can imagine. So I would imagine that you would need something a little bit less than the 90%. That's where I got to the 85. But I think we all have to be honest and humble. Nobody really knows for sure, but I think 70 to 85% for herd immunity for COVID-19 is a reasonable estimate. And in fact, most of my epidemiology colleagues agree with me.
Yeah, of course. Nothing is exact. I guess my question was about polling. It seemed in that quote to suggest that you were basing your recommendation on polling and what people could accept. Is that not what you meant?
No, I mean, it's a bit of that. I want to encourage the people of the United States and globally to get vaccinated, because as many as we possibly get vaccinated will get closer to herd immunity. So the bottom line is, it's a guesstimate. I gave a range. And I use any discussion like we're having now, Dana, to encourage people to get to that goal of 70 to 85% of the people vaccinated. That's where we really want to be.
Okay, and just to put a button on it, no sugar coating, you're saying 75 to 80% is the goal in your view as of now based
right.
on what you know when it comes to herd immunity, not 90%.
Right, right, right.
Okay, thank you.
What?
My words exactly. What? What did that mean? He was talking in circles. Did you ever see a dog chase its tail? That's what I felt like while I watched that interview, folks. It was absolutely crazy. And remember what the Nobel laureate and inventor of the now misused PCR test, Dr. Kerry Mullis, had to say about Fauci? You remember we covered that on this show? Dr. Kerry Mullis, kind of a laid-back guy, and he calls Dr. Fauci a fraud. I want to replay this clip for you. It's a 2-minute, 5-second clip. Listen to Dr. Mullis challenge Dr. Fauci and offered to debate him anywhere, anytime, and he actually calls him a fraud.
What is it about humanity that wants to go to all the details and stuff and listen? You know, these guys like Fauci get up there and start talking. You know, he doesn't know anything really about anything, and I'd say that to his face, nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine. He should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's going on the bottom. You know, those guys have got an agenda, which is not what we would like them to have, being that we pay for them to take care of our health in some way. They've got a personal kind of agenda. They make up their own rules as they go. They change them when they want to. And they smugly, like Tony Fauci, does not mind going on television in front of the people that pay his salary and lie directly into the camera. You can't expect the sheep to really respect the best and the brightest. They don't know the difference, really. I mean, I like humans, don't get me wrong, but basically the vast majority of them do not possess the ability to judge who is and who isn't a really good scientist. I mean, that's a problem. That's a main problem, actually, with science, I'd say, in this century, because science is being judged by people. Funding is being done by people who don't understand it. Okay, who do we trust? Fauci? Fauci doesn't know enough. If Fauci wants to get on television with somebody who knows a little bit about this stuff and debate him, he could easily do it, because he's been asked. I mean, I've had a lot of people... President of the University of South Carolina asked Fauci if he'd come down there and debate me on the stage in front of the student body, because I wanted somebody who was from the other side to come down there and balance my, because I felt like, well, these guys can listen to me, but I need to have somebody else down here that's going to tell me the other side.
But
Fauci didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do it, folks. Dr. Fauci is a fraud. Not only will Dr. Mullis say it, but Dr. Beer will say it. Dr. Fauci is a fraud. I never want you to forget this one truth. We, the people, possess all the power. Not these bureaucrats, not these scheming politicians. And we, the people, must stand up and say no more. No more concerning this scamdemic. No more concerning this election fraud. And we, the people, have to have the courage to say what millions of Americans are thinking. I'm done. I'm done with this COVID-19 insanity. I'm done with the corruption. And I found this clip this week of this woman in a drugstore, a maskless woman, confronting all the mindless sheep. And listen to her. And folks, I encourage you to stand up and say no more. Listen to her, this 2-minute clip.
Or there's like 36 people with COVID in the ICU. Whenever there's a flu, there's only 2 or 3 patients at a time in the ICU. So literally the entire hospital is COVID patients. Mm-hmm. This has never happened.
I'm not saying COVID's not real. I'm just saying I'm not sick. Well, I'm not sick, and asymptomatic spread has been shown to be a myth. So why am I going to be treated like a sick person? Do you know that there have been fewer deaths overall in 2019 than there were in 2018? Look it up. Fewer deaths overall. All they've done is recategorize all the deaths. This is not what they're telling us it is. It's a lie. This is a lie, I'm telling you. It's a lie. And everyone's buying it. And it'll go on and on and on as long as they feed us this lie and we comply with it. And I'm done. Tonight, I reached a breaking point. I'm done. I know I'm not reaching anyone here.
Everybody's unhappy.
I don't care. I'm not putting that on my face. I'm not going to. I'm a healthy person. I'm not crazy. This is like psychosis. For everyone to put all this stuff on their face when they're healthy is insanity. It's absolute insanity. Go ahead. They can't arrest me because there's no law. No, I'm a healthy person. I don't need to wear masks. I would love to see what happens. Honestly, I'm moving tomorrow.
I took you out a long time ago, and you're refusing after I'm offering you something.
But I'm really curious to see how are they going to arrest me for a law that doesn't exist.
Epsom salt and a corkscrew, yes, and you're willing to, like, risk people's lives.
No, I'm not risking anyone's lives because I'm healthy.
How do we know that you're healthy?
Look at me.
Do you understand that
asymptomatic spread is not a thing. They've already shown there is no asymptomatic spread. There is no asymptomatic spread. I don't have symptoms. I'm fine. I'm not a carrier of disease. This is what I'm saying. They're treating us like we're diseased. You just said, how is it treating you like you're diseased? But then
wearing
you're telling
a mask
me how you
is
know.
Not an imposition to be careful with other people's health.
No, it's not just the mask.
This
it's
is the epicenter of
it's
the country.
It's the lockdown. It's everything. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm done.
You're moving tomorrow, right? So you're
going to
be...
I hope so. I hope someone in here hears me and feels empowered.
Wow. What craziness, huh? What absolute craziness. Folks, there have been a few more deaths this year than last year. A few. And this comparison to the Spanish flu is an atrocity to sensibilities. You heard it from me, folks. Back during the Spanish flu, which they have not been able to identify as a transmissible disease, and we covered that on this show, 2.5% of the world population died. 2.5%. Do you know what the percentage of the world population death today is? 0.04%. 0.04%. About 3 million people in the world have died. And folks, I'm not minimizing those deaths. All I'm saying is it's nowhere near as catastrophic as the Spanish flu was. We would have had to see about 187 million deaths worldwide to say this is a serious issue. In our country today, we'd have had to see close to 10 million deaths. They're claiming 320,000 deaths, and over 90% of them have nearly three comorbidities. My point is, folks, that there's so much going on with this scamdemic that the sheep don't understand it. They're being driven by fear. And remember, fear is false evidence about reality. It is that we could do an entire show just on the coronavirus heist alone. In fact, just on the vaccines alone and what's been happening since they've been introduced, you know, people are dying spontaneously. This is an RNA modifier, which actually goes in and tampers with your genetic structure. This is serious, folks. And there's actually concerns from some of the previous studies done with these types of pseudo vaccines, and they aren't traditional vaccines. There's been a lot of findings that it actually hypersensitizes your body to the native strain of that particular virus. So, and by that, I mean that if you're vaccinated with one of these RNA-type modifiers, and then you're exposed to the native virus, you actually can have a more catastrophic effect because of the hypersensitized immune system than you would if you just got infected. I want to wrap up the coronavirus heist segment of this show with this rather long clip from doctors all around the world. And this is just a sampling of this longer clip. Doctors and experts all around the world speaking out on COVID-19 and these very, very untried vaccines. Listen to this clip. I hope it wakes you up.
My name is Andrew Kaufman. I'm a medical doctor and board certified forensic psychiatrist. This pandemic is not a real medical pandemic. The COVID-19 vaccine is not proven safe or effective because there has not been enough time. In addition, there is not a clear definition of any new disease for which it can be tested against. There has not been a virus that has been purified or shown to be the cause of an illness. Thus, there is no target for a vaccine. However, the bottom line is that since no additional deaths have occurred in relation to a new disease, there is simply no need for a new vaccine.
Hi, my name is Hilde Smets. I'm a Belgian medical doctor, and I'd like to say that a new COVID-19 vaccine is not safe and that there is no global medical pandemic. For almost 20 years, the pharmaceutical industry has been trying to develop corona vaccines, but never managed because they saw in the animal trials that there were serious side effects, autoimmune disorders, when the animal was exposed to a new wild-type virus. These autoimmune disorders are comparable with the complications we have seen in some COVID-19 patients. Now, due to the excuse of a global pandemic, the pharma industry has the permission to skip the animal trials. This means that we humans will be the guinea pigs, and we might get severe side effects when we are exposed to new viruses.
My name is Nils Fosse. I'm a medical doctor in Bergen, Norway. The COVID-19 vaccine has not been proven safe and effective. It's a new technology, and it's been tested on a few thousands of people in a few months. Please do your own research. This is not a real medical pandemic. The death rates in Norway are not higher than on an average year.
Dr. Elizabeth Evans, retired doctor and co-founder of the UK Medical Freedom Alliance. The COVID-19 vaccines are not proven to be safe or effective. We believe that it is reckless and unnecessary to roll out these essentially experimental vaccines that are using a completely new mRNA technology to millions of people when there is only limited short-term safety data, no evidence that they will prevent transmission of the virus, and no long-term safety data to rule out late onset negative effects like autoimmune diseases, infertility, and cancers.
This is Dr. Mohammed Adel from United Kingdom. I am fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons of UK and consultant surgeon. I have been working for the National Health Services for the last 30 years with unblemished record. I am chairman of the Global Nectarian Organization, All Pakistan Medical Association UK, and recently we have developed World Doctors Alliance in collaboration with thousands of health professionals across the world. Recently, we had a very successful webinar, which has been viewed by millions of people across the world. I am standing for the cause of the humanity, especially in the current situation of the devastating effect due to coronavirus and its restriction imposed on the public. Many thanks.
Doctors aren't allowed to question COVID-19 in public. Material containing the truth about the alleged disease and the vaccine is banned. In the last year, I've been demonized and lied about, and a 50-year career and reputation trashed by those promoting a pandemic that never was and a vaccine that was never needed. The whole COVID-19 scam is, as I said in March 2020, the greatest hoax in history. The principle of informed consent is essential in medicine, but patients now having vaccines can't give informed consent because they aren't being informed. Thank heavens for sites such as Brand YouTube, which carry uncensored videos by doctors who've been censored or banned elsewhere.
My name is Professor Dolores Cahill. I'm a molecular biologist and an immunologist, and we have good news. The coronavirus and the lockdown was not as severe as was thought. We know that we can treat the symptoms of COVID-19 very successfully with vitamins D, C, and zinc, and with very safe medicines. So therefore, the lockdown and the measures like quarantining, social distancing, and masks were not necessary. And also, a vaccine is then also not necessary. There has never been a licensed RNA vaccine, and this is not because there have been many clinical trials, but that in the safety studies, there was significant adverse events and death in the animals that were used in these studies over the past 20 years.
My name is Zach Cox. I'm a holistic dentist and a homeopath. I'm a founder member of the World Doctors Alliance, I believe that the pandemic is fundamentally over and was so in the summer. I also firmly believe that there is no long-term safety data on any of the COVID vaccines. This means that they are essentially experimenting on us, which is against the Nuremberg Code. I will not be taking the vaccine.
Hello, I'm Dr. Anna Forbes. I'm a UK medical doctor here representing the UK Medical Freedom Alliance. This is a growing body of doctors, scientists, academics, and lawyers. We believe that there has been an overestimation of the public health risk from SARS-CoV-2 due to misrepresentation of data and inappropriate use of the PCR test. We call for the preservation of informed consent, medical choice, and bodily autonomy. As doctors, we believe this is absolutely crucial to maintain. Thank you.
I am Ralph Sundberg, MD, PhD, former associate professor in transplant surgery at Karolinska Institute. My opinion of this coronavirus crisis is that the PCR test is inaccurate. It actually causes so many false positives. So we are scared to vaccination, and I don't trust this vaccine.
So that was just a sampling, and I listened to it, and I heard that the audio was a little compromised on a few of them, but I hope you got the point. We invested over 7 minutes on that, and I encourage you to go out there and listen to it, folks. Doctors speak out on COVID-19 and vaccines. You can find it out there. Just search for that under videos. And if you can't, send me an email at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I will send you a copy of the clip. Now, doctors all over the world are speaking out on this. Experts are. There's the Barrington Declaration. There's the doctors on the steps of the Supreme Court, all being shadow banned and censored from social media. So like I said, we could do an entire show just on this. But we have to move on, and now it's time for Kabuki Theater.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means solve, boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb, kabu meaning to slam or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So there's all sorts of evidence coming out right now in the 2020 election fraud. There was this article out in creativedestructionmedia.com, 29th of December, and it was titled Cracking Dominion Source Code, a National Security Threat Since 2003. Now, most states, including Georgia and Pennsylvania, have to follow what are known as federal standards for elections, and both of these states have violated those federal standards. And in fact, this week it was proven live in front of the Georgia Senate that the Dominion voting machines being used right there for the runoff election for the Senate seats were hooked up to the internet, which is a violation of federal election standards. So this expert, he was on the stand as his hackers were hacking into active Dominion voting machines. Now, the current Dominion voting system was designed over 20 years ago, and it was enabled to promote every type of fraud imaginable. And this isn't speculation anymore, folks. This is fact. And this article goes in and outlines how this happened. Now, from about 97 to 2003, these two men, Bob Barry Heron, were developing electronic technology to manipulate votes, and they were using Diebold systems. And this article outlines the chain of custody for the software and the source code. And this is not open source code. If it was, people would be able to investigate it and look at it. It's proprietary, unseen source code. Remember last week we had the open source code expert on saying he saw no evidence of election fraud with these machines? Well, that's probably because he couldn't look. But this article peels back many layers of the onion, so to speak. And then the article describes the Diebold election systems and then goes on to explain how Dominion bought Diebold and this system for its own use. So the Dominion system backbone is the old Diebold election system technology developed back around the turn of the millennia by Bob Yurcevich and Barry Heron. I encourage you folks to go out and get this article and read it. It gives a very clear line of sight into what's otherwise a very opaque world of election fraud. And I think everyone ought to be reading this. So there's this guy that's made the scene, so to speak, very recently. And his name is Patrick Byrnes, B-Y-R-N-E-S, Byrnes. And what Patrick Byrnes is doing is he's dropping these mega bombs all over the alternative media right now concerning this election fraud. He's involved. He was at the meeting at the White House with Sidney Powell, where she was, quote unquote, officially appointed by the president as special counsel. And we covered that last week. But in an article in Epoch Times, he points out that the Chinese regime is engaged in what he refers to as a slow coup. He says it's a revolution. The stages of such a revolution are very well mapped out. And we understand this. And it occurs in four steps. And he goes on to explain in this article, there's first demoralization, then disorientation, then crisis, and then normalization. It's almost like the old Hegelian dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis, or crisis, reaction, solution. So what he says is the demoralization happened this year with COVID-19. And then the disorientation involved all the kookiness we're seeing for about 6 months. And he was referring to the Antifa, Black Lives Matter, defunding the police force, George Floyd, all the buildings that were firebombed and burned in the mostly peaceful protests. And then he says that's to disorient you. It's to tell you you're not living in the America you thought you were living in. And then the crisis is clearly the imposter president and this election scam 2020. And he stated that China only needed to corrupt six counties in the U.S. to steal the entire election. And I'm going to quote this next thing right out of the article. Political scientists can tell you to steal the United States, you don't need to cheat in elections everywhere, although they did with the election machines. You only need six counties where you cheat the heck out of those counties. And you can flip the six states that they're in and thereby flip the electoral college and steal the country. And then he goes on to mention the irregularities in Atlanta, Georgia. And we all know this, the water main break that turned out to be an overflowing urinal. And then everybody shooed out of the counting room except for those four infamous people, including the purse lady, Ruby, who stayed back and kept on counting the ballots over and over and over again. All caught on tape. Well, remember, that water main break turned out to be nothing but a scam. And then Byrnes goes on and says the last phase is normalization, where the media is just beating it into your head as they violate every precept of journalistic integrity. And that's what's going on right now. Folks, I've been saying that the mainstream media is derelict of their duty. They're not reporting on what's actually going on. So if this is corrected, which I'm hoping and praying it is, there's going to be massive shock by a lot of sheep. And they may revolt. And I think that's part of the design. Now, Byrnes asserts that the Chinese Communist Party is behind all this. And he's made it clear that he loves the Chinese people and he loves Chinese history. He lived there for a while. He says it's the Chinese Communist regime, and they've proven to be as treacherous and ungrateful as anyone could have imagined. These are his words, not mine. Then he goes on and says what the Chinese did is they studied us and they saw that corruption is our weakest point. And they infiltrated us and they corrupted exactly what institutions they needed to corrupt in order to allow what's going to now happen. folks, unless we stop this, as he says we should, and I quote, listen to this next one, in 10 years there will be prison camps with organs being harvested just as there are in Western China. Then he went on to say, we cannot bend the knee to this under any circumstance. Folks, we can't get them in the midterms. We can't get them in 2024. There won't be a 2022 midterm. There won't be a 2024 presidential election. This is it, folks. Coming January 6th rally in Washington, D.C. is America's last chance. We have to say no. We, the people, have the power. Now, Burns has studied the constitutional principles since he was a young child, and the power resides in the people. He has a master's degree from Cambridge University. He was a Marshall Scholar, received his doctorate in political philosophy at Stanford, and went on to found and then sell Overstock.com. And he says, do not bend the knee. And folks, I have to agree with him. So right now, I'd like you to listen to the intro to a interview he did on the Steel Truth radio show. And this is just the first 2.5 minutes, the intro that the show producer put together. But it covers pretty much what he covered in the show. And if you'd like to listen to that and you can't find it out there on stilltruth.com, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get you a link. But here's the intro to his interview.
I think that they know how much I know, and they don't want any attention brought to me. Since Friday night, a curtain, a lead, President Trump has been buried in lead. I was in the room when President Trump, so at one point, Pat Cipollone in one of his hissy fits, yelled at the president, stood up and was yelling at the president. I almost decked this guy. And Flynn stood up. I mean, Flynn is a real gentleman, as gentlemanly as it gets. And he even took to his feet at one point at three lawyers who were screaming. And I went and ended up standing shoulder to shoulder with Flynn and facing off with these guys. There was almost a fist fight. Trump said, President Trump said later, there's probably not been a meeting like this in 200 years in the Oval Office. 20 minutes later, Trump said, you know what? I've made my decision. Sidney Powell, you were appointed White House Special Counsel. And somebody objected, well, she doesn't need it. She needs a clearance, and that's going to take X money, this and that. And President Trump said, you know what? I have the ability to give a clearance with my word. I hereby give you a TSSCI clearance. This is done. Wow. This decision is done. We're going. They're refusing to follow President Trump's orders. What's happened is all these people know that if they get the president out on January 20, there's jobs waiting for them at law firms and lobbyists for $1 million and up jobs. Any 8-year-old can look at what happened on November 3rd and the week thereafter and knows what happened. Look, there's under no circumstance can we accept a fraudulent election. Under no circumstance. That's all I'm going to say. Under no circumstance will I go along with a fraudulent election. And no one should. We never get our country back if that happens. The Green Beret community and the Marines are the, if it comes to it, those are the military communities above all else that you need to trust.
Patrick Byrne, who has joined us previously on this show and broke in the Hillary Clinton story that has gone viral. Patrick, it's great to be with you again this evening. You're still in D.C., I suppose.
I am. I'm still in D.C., and the drapes behind me seem to, the careful watchers on the internet have figured out where I am. This is the Trump Hotel. That has nothing, that implies no endorsement from Donald Trump. It just happens to be very physically safe for myself and my hacker colleagues to do their work.
Talk to us about the meeting you had on Friday in the Oval Office. A lot of misinformation coming out about it from Maggie Haberman. Tell us about that explosive meeting because you were there.
Now, I encourage you to listen to this interview. Patrick Burns tends to be a bit bombastic, but he was there. He is a passionate patriot and a lover of America and its freedoms. And I think he's worth listening to right now. So he dropped some mega bombs there on the Steel Truth. And again, I encourage you to listen to this. Now, as Patrick Burns said, this is all tied together. So what's this Great Reset really about? Well, there was another interview in the past week by Greg Hunter on USAWatchdog.com where he interviewed Catherine Austin Fitz, And she basically said it all. It was a interview titled "Governed by Demonic Spirit or Divine Intelligence," Catherine Austin Fitz on Greg Hunter's USAWatchdog.com. Now, she's an investment advisor. She was former assistant secretary of housing, if you don't know her dossier or her resume. She says that this so-called reset is actually here right now. And it simply means that the old system, the old economic system, has to be destroyed and replaced. And she says that the number one goal of this great reset is to destroy Jesus and all his Christian believers. Then fit Greg Hunter. What do you see on the dollar when you hold it up? What's it say? Well, it says, "In God we trust." So it's a liquid currency. And a liquid currency with the breadth and depth of trust that the dollar has to be faith. Now, that faith is in a divine intelligence. Those are her words, not mine. And you know there has to be something bigger. And that's essentially the entire tenet of this great social contract we have called the United States of America. We believe that our powers were granted to us. Our authority was granted to us by God. Our rights come from God, not from the government. They're unalienable. She goes on to say how they have to destroy this system. And to destroy it, they must destroy divine authority and natural law. And then she said, just look at the lockdowns. What was the number one target at the beginning? The churches. The globalists are trying to bankrupt and destroy the churches. And then she said, couple the lockdowns with the laws on homosexual marriage and hiring, even biblical teachings and what they're going to start to call hate speech. They're already doing it in Canada. It's an all-out war on Christianity and the churches. So the question is, are we going to be hyper-materialistic, governed by the demonic spirit, or are we going to be faith beings led by a divine intelligence? These are the two competing visions right now. So it's a great interview. It's probably about an hour long. And what I've done is I've stitched together three portions of it into about a 7.5-minute clip. And I want to play that for you right now. So here it is, Catherine Austin Fitz, on the USA Watchdog, titled "Reset Means Digital Control."
I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. My next guest is a regular and a national treasure. She has the Solari Report, the publisher of the Solari Report and Solari.com. I want to get her views on the election, the chaos, the contested election. You had Donald Trump winning by a record amount of votes, 13 million more than he got in the 2016 election, and yet a guy campaigning out of his basement supposedly won. Catherine Austin Fitz, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Thank you, Greg, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Boy, if I didn't have faith, I tell you, I'd be hanging onto a black hole of nothingness.
Exactly. Exactly. But if you have faith, you know there's always a way. There's a way. There's a pathway.
What's going on with your view? You're over in, I think, Amsterdam or in Holland, somewhere over that area.
I'm in the Netherlands.
Netherlands, okay. What's your view of what's going on with the contested election? I mean, lawsuits are flying. It looks like Sidney Powell did get a case on the docket at the Supreme Court after they rejected the, the other case from Texas, which a lot of people found was, outrageous. But what do you think's going on right now here in the United States? Why is this so contested? And an obvious winner is being denied the presidency.
So the elections in the United States for a long time have had serious election fraud, both voting fraud and covert operations. So this is, in one sense, this is standard operating procedure, but it's worse than ever because if you look at many of the lockdown restrictions on COVID-19, they were clearly designed to wipe out the businesses of millions of Trump supporters, and that was, so I would describe that as covert operations coming into the election and really a war on populism, because the goal of the leadership is not just to put Biden in, but to really sit down and clamp down on anybody with independent revenues or independent stature who's supporting sort of real populist policy. So we're in the middle of a war on populism. But then the voting fraud, it looked to me from the beginning that the mail-in ballot system was designed to engineer a fraud. And it was interesting because the attorney general said that well before the election. He said this system can't possibly work. So we knew it was going to be a problem. It appears, this is Patrick Byrne's description, and I think it's probably accurate, that you had six large Democratic-controlled counties and six of the swing states. Trump was clearly winning those states, and then suddenly, you know, we saw a poll shut down or something happen, and all of a sudden, ballots plowed in. And it.
Wow, and this is all about, really, control. I mean, this
control.
Is...
Well, it's not. These are not currencies. Central bank digital crypto is not a currency. Crypto is not a currency. It's a crypt. It's the only way I can say it. It's the end of currencies. It's the death of currencies. Currency is something that's liquid. Currency is something, you know, I can put it in my pocket and walk away. This is a digital control system. This is a credit at the company store. You will be given a credit at the company store, and if you do what you're told, you can buy things at the company store. But you can't start your own store, and you can't build your own store. I mean, that's what we're watching right now in the U.S. economy. We're watching, you know, this is how it works. The insiders of businesses are deemed essential and can stay open, and they can do a series of things to shut down all the independent people's businesses and herd all those cash flows into theirs. So you can't go to church and you can't sing, but you can stream Netflix. So you can shop. You can go to Costco. You can go to Walmart. You can, you know, so if KKR, Carlyle, BlackRock, you know, JP Morgan Chase and Citibank and the New York Fed member banks can make money from it, it's essential and you can do it. They can borrow from the Fed at 0%. Our credit cards cost 16 to 17%. This is how this works. This has nothing to do with an economy. You know, inequality is rigged through the Treasury and central bank credit mechanism.
Magazine tells you, they got to do it at the end of the show. So you can get them both. But this whole reset is about destroying God and destroying religion and Jesus and Christmas and shut down Christmas and shut down churches. And you can go to Walmart and it'd be packed, but you can't go to church and sing. Oh, tell me about that. Why are they doing that?
The dollar. You hold up the dollar, what does it say? It says, in God we trust. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a liquid currency with the breadth of the dollar depends on faith. Faith in the law and faith in a divine intelligence. You know, that there's something bigger. Remember the, you know, what do our founding documents say? They say our freedom comes to us by divine authority. Right?
Yes.
Right. So to destroy that system, you have to destroy those things. And if you look at the COVID-19 lockdowns, the number one target has been the churches. They are trying to bankrupt and destroy the churches. They tried to buy them first. So we've seen tremendous amounts of federal government money rolling out to refinance churches, build bigger churches, you know, grants for churches. It's incredible how they tried to. You know, I used to be on a budget committee on one of my churches, and I ended up in a huge war because literally the Department of Justice was trying to buy up all the churches. I said, you know, why would you take money and enter into a very restrictive legal contract with the same entity that's pouring drugs into this neighborhood? Why would you do that? Seems like legal suicide to me. Anyway, but... it is clear that there is a war on the churches and what sells.
This is really a war on God, isn't it? God's creation?
Well, it's a war. So there are two visions. One vision is that we are a sovereign individual under divine intelligence, and our freedom comes to us by divine intelligence. That's one vision. And I would describe that as a human civilization. The other vision is we are hyper-materialist. Everything is physical. There is, there's a limited electromagnetic reality. And we are a natural resource to be harvested like livestock. And you can change men into women and women into men, you know, and add a whole bunch of digital components and make a super soldier, and it's all very fluid.
That sounds like a war between good and evil. It's like a war on God. Whatever God made, not good enough.
So, So the question is, are we going to be hyper-materialists governed by a demonic spirit, or are we going to be sovereign individuals governed by a divine intelligence? Those are the two visions.
Wow.
And that's really all it's about, folks, are those two positions. And that kind of goes into that whole National Academy of Sciences definition of reality. Remember they said all there is matter and matter in motion? So they don't look at anything supernatural. They don't look at anything intangible to quantification. In other words, they cannot quantify beauty, so they don't consider beauty. Quantify love, so they do not consider love. Yet we know these realities are true. We know there's beauty, and we know there's its converse or ugliness. We know there's love, and we know the absence of love or hate. We see it every day. Yet these people want us to be hyper-materialists, depending upon nothing but matter and the motion of matter, to define all of our reality. And that, quite frankly, is crazy. That's just another element of the craziness that 2020 brought out. And it's even tied together with this Nashville bombing. Folks, there were no slow news days in the entire year 2020. And by the way, the FBI didn't solve the Nashville bombing in 24 hours. It wasn't a lone gunman. I mean bomber. Have you heard this? This is a clip of a local reporter trying to do his job and report the news. Now, what he acquired was a skyline video shot from the distance, a security camera, that recorded the distant view of this event. And when you listen to this, you're going to say it can't get any crazier than this. But just listen to this clip. It's only 24 seconds long.
Now, watch by the third light post. Something streams up in the air. And then this.
This is where you see it on the clip.
Now, the perspective is off a little bit because, you know, obviously you're shooting over the top of the AT&T tower. And I want to make something perfectly clear. The AT&T tower, the Batman building, is not connected to.
So what was he talking about there? Well, you could very, very clearly see this line come down from the sky or go up to the sky right at the source of the explosion prior to the explosion. So it was indicating that there was some sort of missile, and some people were even speculating some sort of scalar energy weapon. And they do have those. Those are the Star War technologies that President Ronald Reagan introduced to the public narrative back in his administration. And they're real. I spoke to one of the researchers years ago, Lieutenant Colonel retired James Bearden. Down in Huntsville, Alabama, he worked in the Huntsville military facility, and he worked on energy weapons, and they're known by the acronym DEWS, Directed Energy Weapons. So there's some crazy stuff going on in Nashville, and I think it's been fairly well documented in this past week that was an AT&T switching center used by the NSA for all of their spying. And there's even speculation that it was doing a forensic audit of some of the voting machines, the Dominion voting machines involved in the scandal down in Atlanta. And this was an attempt to take out the evidence. Now, how much of this is true, I don't know. But I do know one thing. It wasn't some lone, crazy bomber. It wasn't. Now, when you think it can't get any crazier than this, this article comes out from Fibotalia.net. And it came out, article written by James Fetzer. If Biden body double did the debates, is this fraud nullifying his candidacy? Now, this author claims that there was a body double used in the debates. He says, look at the eyes. And I've heard a lot of people comment on the eyes of Biden during the debate. They were dark, yet Biden has blue eyes. And his head's fairly narrow, yet this man on the debate had a wide skull or cranium. Biden has detached earlobes. If you look at the debate images, the earlobes were attached, and that's very difficult to fake. Biden has a smooth chin, yet this individual on the debates had a cleft chin. Biden always smiles, yet this body double, according to James Fetzer, never smiles. And when you look at wifey Jill, Dr. Jill, whenever she's with the real Joe Biden, she's happy and very close to him, and she's smiling. Yet when she's with the alleged body double, and troubled. I'm just saying. Could it get any crazier than this? A body double for Sleepy Joe? Folks, again, I could go on and on, but it's time to move on. And it's time for our newest segment, and we've titled this one Ken's Corner. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Folks, back in my Cooper days, while I researched for his publication known as Veritas, the national newspaper that we actually sent out to all the members of the House and Senate, along with the president and many of the alphabet soup agencies, and his nightly shortwave radio show on WWCR titled The Hour of the Time, I remember learning about this government plot called Operation Northwoods. Now, Northwoods was a plan that was developed by the U.S. government back in 1962, and its entire premise was to stage these false flag terrorist attacks on the U.S. and abroad to provoke military intervention in Cuba. This was the Bay of Pigs. This was JFK. This was his Directive 57 that was just finally implemented by Chris Miller, to neuter the CIA and basically blow it into a million pieces. And this plan, developed by the CIA, called for operatives to commit genuine acts of terrorism on U.S. cities and elsewhere around the world. And these acts of terrorism were to be blamed on Cuba, in order to create public support for a war against Cuba. The whole Bay of Pigs scandal was all about. Remember, it had recently fallen under the control of communist Fidel Castro. And now this document was signed by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Lyman Lemonser, and was presented to the Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, on March 13, 1962. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, just this week, the FBI releases this theory that the bomber, the lone bomber, just like the lone gunman during the JFK assassination, had a 5G paranoia. And that's why he did what he did. Folks, this is such BS. The federal agents, they were tipped off that a person had rigged the RV with explosives in downtown Nashville and was being driven by fears surrounding 5G technology. See, again, how they try to marginalize anybody that questions the safety of 5G technology. So this Nashville realtor, Stephen Friedrich, WSMV-TV, that the FBI had interviewed him about whether this man should be investigated concerning the bombing last Friday. And in fact, they were trying to determine whether or not he was paranoid about 5G technology. Now, if you're paranoid about 5G technology by guilt and association, you must be a terrorist. So this guy, Friedrich, was interviewed concerning somebody he knew named Anthony Quinn Warner from Antioch, Tennessee, 63-year-old computer geek who neighbors have reported seeing an RV in his driveway that matched the one that was found on the security cameras that blew up morning of December 25th. Now, this FBI spokesperson, and boy, I tell you, can you even trust the FBI anymore? Didn't want to comment on the issue because of the pending investigation. That's the way it always is. Yet they said that he was concerned, he being this Warner guy, the supposed bomber, because 5G was being used to spy on Americans. And then Friedrich was quoted as saying that Warner had never spoken about 5G to him. He described Warner as a techie guy who didn't bother anybody. Now, before the explosion, remember, there was a warning that was played from a speaker on the RV, an automated female voice urging everybody to evacuate. We played it last week. And fortunately, only three bystanders were injured. Yet they found these human remains. And mysteriously, within 24 to 48 hours, they had the DNA match. And it was none other than this techie, Anthony Quinn Warner of Antioch, Tennessee. Isn't this so clean? Isn't this so convenient? Now, the blast damaged the building owned by telecom giant AT&T. And this, as I mentioned, was a NSA switching hub, and that all came out from Snowden's releases. And Snowden, I say, is a national hero, and he should be pardoned. And I pray that President Trump does pardon him. He's trying to warn the American public of what the government's doing now, which is spying on its own people. So I'm telling you, this is all linked, folks. But I have to keep moving. Okay? And now it's time for our next segment. And we've titled that one, Back to the Future. And in this segment, folks, we take something from the past and make it new, bringing it back to the future. So, folks, what I want to do now is just go back 365 days. We're not going back hundreds of years. We're not going back to the past century. We're not even going back 10 years. We're going back 365 days. Now, 2020 was one of the most corrupt and fraudulent years I can remember in all of my life. I mean, we had the impeachment fraud, then we had the China virus fraud, then we had the lockdown fraud and the George Floyd fraud, then we had the riots and looting fraud, and then the BLM Antifa fraud, then the election pool fraud, and now the election 2020 fraud. Then we had the Supreme Court fraud, the virus spike fraud, the presidential election, Biden, office of president-elect fraud. There is no such thing as an office of president-elect. And then, as I just spoke about, the Nashville bombing, false flag, Northwood garbage. It's all fraud. And you know what? To all of that garbage, I say one thing. Enough is enough. Enough is enough, folks. We, the people, have to say no more. You know, 12 months ago, we were a country of greatness. Unemployment was at record lows. We had people working. We had everything going in the right direction. It looked like President Trump was on track for a second term 12 months ago. Then this disgusting Marxist democratic scheme ruined us, as they tried to take down the president and the America that he loves and stop him from fulfilling all the promises that he made. It's sad, folks. It's very sad. Now, I'm not calling President Trump some savior. He's not. Jesus Christ is our savior. But I'm telling you, President Trump is doing more good than bad. And I do wonder about his position on vaccines. And some of his most staunch supporters say that's all a matter of optics. And you'll see when he regains his presidency. And, you know, how much of this is real? How much of this is fantasy? That I don't know for sure. But all of this, and what I saw the talking heads do as they parroted these frauds over and over again, it reminded me of an old story I heard over 45 years ago as a child. And it was titled The Emperor's New Clothes. And I'd like to play you a 3-minute clip describing this little story.
So here we go. This is the tale of the emperor's new clothes. In a faraway land in a kingdom which stood long ago, there existed a rather vain emperor who loved all of the luxuries of life, especially fine clothing. It was rumored he had a different coat for every hour of the day. These rumors traveled to distant lands and attracted two unassuming swindlers who journeyed to his city, claiming to be one of the best clothes makers in all of the land, saying they made magical clothing that would appear invisible to anyone who was stupid or incompetent. The emperor was delighted and eager. He couldn't wait for this new amazing magical outfit, and second to that, he was excited to see who was unfit to be in his kingdom, as they wouldn't be able to see his outfit. He paid these men handsomely to construct his magical outfit, and snickering knowingly, the con men pretended to sew and stitch with empty looms and threadless needles, and when the emperor sent a couple of his men to go check on the garments, his men saw absolutely nothing. No cloth and no fabric. But they didn't want to admit they saw nothing because they feared accusations of stupidity and incompetency. On the day of the great procession, the clothing was presented to the emperor. But when the clothing was handed to him, he saw nothing. But the emperor withdrew any remark, fearing the label of stupidity or incompetency. After all, he was the leader of this empire. He could risk no such thing. His staff dressed him from head to toe in the garment, and then, in all of his glory, the emperor marched in the great procession in front of all of his subjects. Of course, his subjects had caught wind of the magical nature of the clothing, and not wanting to be called stupid or incompetent, they too told the emperor how beautiful the clothing was, even though what they saw before them was a butt-naked man. Finally, a child piped up and hollered, "But he's not wearing anything!" The crowd turned to the child, realizing the young boy had no agenda or reason to lie, so what the child was saying must be true. It confirmed what they too had seen but were too afraid to speak on. All at once, the crowd started chanting, "He's not wearing anything! He's butt naked!" Thus, the emperor returned to his quarters, wearing nothing but his pride. The end. So, internet friends, I want to ask you, has there ever been a time this year, or any time really, when you were too afraid to speak up when you saw the truth right in front of you for fear of the judgment or the ridicule you might encounter from your peers? Perhaps you didn't speak up because you didn't want to be labeled a conspiracy theorist or something like that. And as a broader question, from whom have we accepted these facts without question? And for how long? And where has this gotten us as a society except for living together in a collective lie?
You know, all I can say is out of the mouth of babes. If we would just dispense with all the flattery, if we would just dispense with all the pseudo-intellectualism, if we would just look at reality, I think we would all say, just like that child, "But he's butt naked." And that's what it feels like today, folks. It seems like no one in the legacy media is willing to tell the emperor that he's actually naked. And even the emperor, I don't know anymore, folks. I really don't know. So how does it apply today? Well, all you hear from the imposter elected, from the pseudo office of the president elect is gloom and doom. The dark winter is upon us. The dark winter this, the dark winter that. We'll build back better. These are all buzzwords from the establishment, folks. And I'm referring to this system that's being morally, spiritually, and physically imposed upon us, this bankrupt system with its current dark winter and building back better trajectory, moving us from shareholder capitalism to stakeholder capitalism, really just a form of communism. And then there's President Trump. You know, he's been maligned, he's been lied about, he's been abused, never supported by the media, never really given the respect that the office deserves. There's President Trump. You know, he flew back early from Mar-a-Lago, where he has celebrated the last 20 New Year's. He flew back early and he addressed the nation, yet it wasn't covered. And what I would like to do is play the last 2 minutes, about half of his address to the nation, his New Year's address to the nation. His first half, he covered the vaccine. And I'm really, really troubled by all that. And I hope if he does succeed in his effort to right these wrongs in the election fraud, I do hope that he comes clean about all this. And if he doesn't, he's going to remain suspect to me, folks. But listen to the last 2 minutes and 16 seconds of his New Year's address to the nation.
Before the pandemic, we built the greatest economy in the history of the world. Now we are doing it again. We've actually built, if you think about it, two great economies, before and after. We passed $3 trillion in relief, the largest financial aid package in history. Through the Paycheck Protection Program, we saved or supported more than 51 million American jobs, and we're doing numbers now like nobody's ever seen before, including having the highest stock market in the history of the world. I froze student loan payments, stopped evictions, suspended payroll taxes. We have slashed the unemployment rate from 14.7% all the way down to 6.7%. And a lot of people thought that the 14.7 could be 32 or 40 or 45%. And now we're down to 6.7 and heading a lot lower. We made it dramatically better than experts predicted just a few months ago. Our economy is growing at the most rapid rate ever recorded, 33.4% last quarter, and much faster than the nations of Europe. Nobody can compete with us in terms of going down less and going up by far the fastest and the best. Whenever America is challenged, we always rise to the occasion. We are bringing critical medical manufacturing back home to America. We have secured our borders and paused immigration to protect American workers. We lowered drug prices for the first time in 51 years. And after years of endless foreign wars, we are signing historic peace deals in the Middle East. It's all ending in the Middle East. We have to hope it keeps going. It's so easy if you know what you're doing. In this season of joy, Americans have so much to be grateful for. We're all blessed to live in the greatest country ever to exist on the face of the earth, and we have made it greater than ever before. As long as we remain loyal to our nation, devoted to our citizens, and faithful to Almighty God, we know that the best is yet to come. God bless you, and God bless America.
What a different message than what we're getting from the imposter-elect Joe Biden with his dark, dark winter and his Build Back Better. As President Trump said, it's so easy to do if you know what you're doing. And we have to remain faithful to God. Folks, it has been a crazy year. I don't think 2020 is going to be better. So that leaves us at a crossroads. What are we going to do? And I think this is a perfect opportunity for all of us to understand the rest of the gospel. Now, I opened up this message with two scriptures, one out of the Old Testament, one out of the New Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 9 reads, "For ye are not as yet come into the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God has giveth you." And then it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward had spoken of another day?" Now, what I'm going to share with you came from a book written by a very godly man who lives here in Western Pennsylvania, and he actually spoke at our church last week. His name's Bob Santos, and this came from his book, The Search for Rest. Now, this title for this message, The Rest of the Gospel, is a play on words, because rest is kind of synonymous with remainder, meaning the same thing, but rest is less formal and much more common. And that's not the rest that Bob Santos was talking about. He's talking about rest as in lying down, to sleep, to cease from action or motion, to refrain from labor or exertion. It's a transitive verb, to give rest or to rest your eyes. And remember, this rest is offered to us by the gospel. Now, he opened with this very bizarre story out of Numbers chapter 15, verses 32 through 36. And I'm not going to read it to you, but I encourage you to go and read it. But this is the story of the days in the wilderness. The people of Israel were in the wilderness wandering around, and a man was caught gathering wood on the Sabbath. And the ones who caught him took him before Moses and Aaron, and the entire congregation gathered. So these were millions of people. And they put him into custody, and they were trying to figure out what they should do with him because he broke the Sabbath by gathering wood. So God spoke to Moses and said, "Give the man the death penalty. Yes, kill him." The whole community hurled stones at him outside the camp. So what did they do? They killed him. Now, a lot of people say, well, that seems over the top. That seems to be out of line with the crime. The punishment doesn't fit the crime, so to speak. Well, a lot of people have commented on this particular passage over the years, and there's a lot of things that we don't see clearly concerning the Old Testament. Some people have said, well, when God means it, he means it. And there are consequences to breaking God's law. But there's something deeper going on there. Folks, there's always a reason in God's word, okay? And now the whole concept of the Sabbath and Sabbath rest, that was central to the Hebrews, the Israelites, you know? They had written books on it. You know, they actually took a very simple law that God gave us in the Ten Commandments, and that was to honor the Sabbath. And they made it into this entire book in terms of all these different rules and regulations. And you can read about the commandment of the Sabbath in Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 through 29. And again, I'm not going to read that to you, but I'm going to encourage you to read it. So the Lord gives them a Sabbath day, and they took and corrupted this. That was a rest for the people, and they made the Sabbath a requirement, a regulation, a burden upon the people. They even defined what was known as a Sabbath day's journey. But there's something much deeper going on here. That's what Bob Santos was saying. So there's this idea of the Sabbath rest. And folks, as believers, we don't celebrate the Sabbath. We celebrate the Lord's Day. And there's a huge difference between the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. So when we gather as believers, we're gathering on the Lord's Day, not the Sabbath. But there's still this principle of the Sabbath day rest. And you can read about that in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, where the fourth commandment is expounded upon. And I'm going to read that to you. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger, that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So this Sabbath was already established before the commandments. It was a day of no work, a day of rest, a day of fellowship. And folks, let's face it, don't we all need to recharge our batteries? That's what I was doing this week. I took a week off from the plant, first time in a long time. But then what happens? Human nature kicks in. And what did the Hebrews do? They added to this commandment that God gave them. And here's what Jesus had to say about it in Mark chapter 2, verses 22 through 28. "And it came to pass that he," that's Jesus, "went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat of the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them that were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." So what's going on here? Well, the point that Jesus was trying to make to these Pharisaical religious types that wrote this book on the Sabbath is that the Sabbath was established for our benefit. Yet, by human nature, we miss this point. And we're just not getting it. You know, even to this day, or if you're old enough to remember the old blue laws, do you remember when stores couldn't be open on Sunday? Well, those were blue laws here in Pennsylvania. And then there's a classic passage out of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And this is a long passage, but it's valuable, and I'd like to read it to you. So bear with me here, folks, and I'm going to read this to you. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest," and that's referring to the gospel rest, "any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world." So God did it. Jesus said it's finished on the cross. They had this plan forged, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son. They had this plan forged since before the foundations of this world. Continues in verse 4. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter in, not because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And then listen to verse 8. This is the key to the whole thing, folks. For if Jesus had given them a rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that entereth into his rest, he also hath caused from his own works, as God did from him. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, there's a lot there, folks, a lot to process. And at first glance, we may think it's a rule that we have to keep. But then, why is verse 12 in there? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What's that in there for? What's this message on the Sabbath all about? Well, it's all about our motives. Remember, I've always said, the worst kind of treason is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. We are saved by faith. Well, you're saved by grace through faith unto good works. So if you're doing your good works to try to justify your salvation, you're doing the right thing for the wrong reason, folks. Now, if we want to enter into God's rest, our motives have to be pure, and that's essential. And Paul writes to that point in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And I'm going to read that to you. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are shadows of things to come, but the body of Christ. So, back in the old days, folks, when one of the generals from the Roman army would defeat an enemy, he would march on Rome with his army and his chariot, and tied to his chariot would be the vanquished ruler or the vanquished general that he had just beaten. And I always open these shows and I tell you that as believers in Christ, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through, already having victory in Jesus Christ. Folks, all those citizens of Rome shared in the victory of that general. And likewise, we share in the victory of our general, King Jesus. And Jesus became our Sabbath rest. Now, there's a parallel here between us and them back in the days of the Old Testament. Remember, these stories are given to us of shadows of things to come, but we're in the reality of the body of Christ. And there's a parallel, like I said here. And I mentioned this passage out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God that any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. Folks, do you ever think about what happens when you die? Do you want to go to heaven? What do you think about heaven? You know, these are all very deep questions, and there are four fundamental questions that we all ponder sometime or another in our life. Where did I come from? Where am I going? Why am I here? And what's right and what's wrong? And I'm telling you, folks, there is nothing that answers these questions better than the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. So whatever you think of your ultimate destiny. Whatever you think about this place called heaven, whatever you think you may have done to merit such reward, so to speak, unless you embrace and then rest in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're probably not going to achieve it. So to enter, so we do it by his covering, not by our works. Yet as humans, we think that we have to climb some ladder to heaven, which is impossible. In reality, if we tried to climb this ladder from the finite to the infinite, we'd exhaust ourselves in the process of doing it. That's the reality, folks. How many imperfections do you have in your life? I'm not asking you to tell anyone that, but just contemplate that for a moment. And how would you remedy them? Well, the bottom line is you can't, I can't, none of us can remedy these imperfections in our life. And if you think you can, and if you think that's all you need to do to get to heaven, then you're not resting in the gospel. And in the process, what you're doing is you're exhausting yourself, and you're never getting the rest that the gospel gives us. And it puts you under a curse. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." So if you're under the law, all you have to do to be cursed by the law is break one of the laws, and you're out. Think about it like this. Suppose every single day you drive to work and you follow the speed limit, and then one day you're just distracted a bit, and you get pulled over by a police officer, and he tells you that you were speeding, and you appear before the magistrate, and you say, "But every single day of my life I followed that speed limit, and one day I was distracted, and I sped." Well, guess what? You're guilty, and you'll pay the fine. And the same thing applies to God's standard for perfection. You break one of the laws, and you broke all the laws. You look upon a woman lustfully, and you've committed adultery. And who of us haven't done that? You take a paperclip from work, and you've stolen. You're a thief. And you've broken all the laws. Folks, that's how serious it is, and that's what the curse of the law is all about. But the good news is that although that's impossible, the good news is that we can be set free by this rest of the gospel. And that's really good news. But the problem with the good news is that in our human nature, in our carnal nature, that good news offends us. Prove how good they are, how successful they are. And as long as we cling to these faux positions of goodness and righteousness, we're going to be offended by the good news of the gospel and continue to live without the rest of the gospel. Now, if you're a Christian, you've probably heard all of this before. But I think that as people, as humans, we drift out of this reality and we start to measure ourselves based on our merit. We try to compare ourselves to that drunk laying in the gutter and we say, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like him." And let's face it, I think we all do that. I know I do. And here's one more scripture to try to drive this point home. Galatians chapter 5, the first 6 verses. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith by love." So the point here is, and by the way, folks, circumcision is just another way of saying works. But the point here is that you ain't going to do it by works, folks, only by grace. And that's where the rest of the gospel is centered. Trust and love him and love others. It's really that simple, folks. So do that And I'm promising you one thing from the Word of God, you will have the rest of the gospel. Now, trusting God is a lifelong journey, because when it gets tough, we as humans start to think that God's abandoned us. He's not there. He's not listening to us. So regardless of what happens here in 2021, we have to remember that we have to trust God on this life journey and remember that He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't forsaken us. And remember that it gets dark at times in our lives. And we have to remember that that light is within us. And we have to take our baskets off. We have to go on top of that hill. We have to let our light shine in this dark and fallen world. But without faith, it's going to be impossible to please God and to do this. The very essence of the gospel is found right here in this passage I shared out of Galatians chapter 5. So if you want that rest, and if you want that peace, and if you want that vitality of God, you have to trust and love God and then love one another. Now, isn't it cool that we can take a tough passage like this one that we opened with, where that man gathering wood was slain, and then we can take it and unpack it and see that there's a life-giving, life-sustaining message here in this old passage, and it's for us to be blessed? Now, do we deserve this good news? No. Do we deserve this rest in the gospel? No. But it's ours for the taking. All you have to do is appropriate it, folks. It's there. So, folks, I want to open this year, 2021, with a prayer. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the peace and freedom that the gospel brings to all of us who will abide in you. I want to thank you, Father, for the hope you give us this day and always as we walk in your light, life, and love. And then, Father, I want you to put on each and every one of our hearts, as Winston Churchill said, to never give in, to never give up, and to stand.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Folks, I love you all, and this is going to be a very interesting year called 2020. But the one thing I want to encourage you to do is to remember that that same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. So allow Him to flow through you.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior, while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus Himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my Spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in His power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.